Good early morning. Do you remember this guy? St. Elvis? That's what my mother-in-law calls him, St. Elvis. Elvis Presley, probably one of the most well-known names around the world in music. There's a lot of things can be said about Elvis that in his music and things he did in his life. He died 40 years ago in August, past August, was made 40 years. Can you believe that? 40 years ago he passed away at the age of 42 years old. He died from obesity and abuse of prescription drugs. He was trying to find himself. His wife Priscilla said that Elvis's life was basically him trying to find himself, trying to find his purpose in life. Why was he really called here? He would go out each night and sing the nights for the concerts and sing, and basically knowing that he was still unfulfilled as a person, still not doing and knowing what he was really called to do. He often talked about he felt like he was called to preach. He was called to serve in some way that was much higher than what he was doing. Now, this is Elvis Presley saying this. And when he died, he still died not knowing who God had really called him to be. Elvis Presley. See, Elvis never really understood the shape that God had called him to. That service and his kingdom work that he had called him to. So he died still not knowing who he really needed to be for God. What about you? Do you really know who you are for God? We're going to veer off a little bit off of Romans again this Sunday. I believe this past week has taught us a lesson. An understanding that God has called us to do far more than just say we're Christians. We're actually to do this Christian thing. We're actually to live this Christian life. We're actually to live it out loud. We see our friends in Southwest Louisiana and Southeastern Texas hurting. Listen, they have lost everything. Their reports come back. There are three or four church members that have been going over. Some have been bringing people from Orange, Texas to Burton Coliseum. There some have gone over in their boats, and one even lost his boat. During the week he came back, he had to be rescued. He and his crew came back, sent me a Facebook message. He said, "Brother Kevin," he said, "do you have some tracts that I can give to these people or prayer cards? Because they're suffering and they've lost all hope." So we've got him some prayer cards. Erica went to Mardell's and as our missions coordinator, she went and got prayer cards. We met him here at 7 o'clock in the morning, gave that to him. He was going back with a load of stuff, he and a crew, to help as many as they could and retrieve his boat. Let me tell you what, God was good to him because of his good. He retrieved his boat, all the supplies that was on the boat, and his wallet that was inside the boat was still there. People have been bringing busloads and busloads to Burton Coliseum, people that come to church with us. They're serving. They're serving. Others are going out and helping and just doing whatever they can. We've even put it out for you to bring goods, dry goods. So there's a list. Eric has put the list on. I put the list on. So others have shared it to bring either here on Sunday morning or to the office between now and Wednesday, because Thursday we try to make a trip over North Houston. That's serving. That's this putting boots on the ground, so to speak. That's putting our hands to the task of being this thing called a Christian. We're so blessed. And we take it for granted because it didn't happen to us. So my heart has been torn because as I sat in my chair, I look around my house. I don't have 8 feet of water in it. I don't have 3 feet of water. And if there's anything we've learned with even last summer helping some of our church members just gut out 2 or 3 feet of water, listen, it disrupts your life. So the question comes down, when it says shaped for serving God, all of us have have unique talents and gifts and abilities that we can serve. And our neighbors are hurting. Jesus said, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Are we doing what we can do within our abilities, within our power? I'm talking about time-wise. I'm talking about financial-wise. I'm talking about all the things within our gifts and abilities. Are we doing what we can to help our neighbor? Because that's what God called us to do. That's what God called us to do. God didn't call us just to sit around and say, oh, I feel so sorry for those people. Listen, the lost world can feel sorry for them. They need Christians to be godly people to do what we can within our abilities to help them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Understanding who we are in Christ's kingdom. Understand who we are called to be in this world. And what's unique is God has shaped us all different. We're not talking about physical shape. We're talking about all the things that make us up as a unique individual, as a child of God. We're all different. But that's what part of God's plan is that we fit together like a puzzle because of all our uniqueness. All of our differences, we work together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, and specifically verse 10. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins when we were lost. Verse 2 says, in which you used to live when you were following the ways of the world and of the rulers of the air, kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. In other words, we were no different. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10. Let's tune in real quick. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we read your word, God, you put us in our place and understand that, God, we are conduits of your grace. God, we are really conduits of your blessings. Oh, Father, we deserve nothing, and you gave it to us anyway as a gift. Lord, today, let us be conduits of your, Lord, just of gratitude that you have given to us so much that we can bless others with. Lord, our neighbors are hurting, and some of us just, we're looking around, what can we do, what can we do? And, Father, there's so many things for us to do. Help us through this message today find our place to serve you. Because that's what you called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. See, we're to make a contribution, not just to consume. God made us and created us and saved us to make a difference. It doesn't matter how long you live, but it's how you live. What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of your life. See, on this planet, no one gets a free ride. We're all meant to give something back to those around. The Bible says we were created to serve. We were saved to serve. We were gifted to serve. We were shaped to serve. No one is given an assignment without being equipped first. God has equipped us all with so much. He has blessed us with so many things. And time again, we neglect that and we go about our business, thinking someone else would do what God has called us to do. See, Job chapter 10, verse 8, Job says this, says, "Your hand shaped me and made me." So this morning, I want us to look at a few things. That God uses five things to shape us. He uses our spiritual gifts. He uses our heart or our emotions, our desire, our compassion, our abilities. He uses our personalities and experiences. Yes, God will use our experiences in life to help those around us. Oh, you're shaped differently than I am. I'm shaped a little differently than you are, but we all work together. See, God made us unique, and our uniqueness is for the benefit of others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Each one of you should give whatever gift he's received to serve others." We were put on this earth to serve God. And the way that you serve God is by serving other people. The way that you truly serve God is to serve other people. Now, we often say, this is our worship service. It really is worship. Service is when we do for others. We're not serving God by worshiping. We're worshiping God. We're praising Him. We're exalting Him. We serve God when we serve one another. And there are a lot of people who say, I want to serve God, but they really don't understand that serving God means that we serve one another. The Bible has a word for service. It's called ministry. It's called ministry. A lot of people misunderstand this thing, ministry. They think ministry is just for pastors or priests or those who are on staff at a church or those teaching a small group. Well, they're in ministry in some form or fashion. No, we're all. When you're called to salvation, you're also called in the ministry. You're called to serve in some way. Ministry simply means that God wants to use us in His kingdom work. Anytime we use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our backgrounds, our experiences, all those things to help someone else, that's called ministry. Anytime we use what's in our care to help other people, that's ministry. When we do it in Jesus' name, when we do it to glorify and honor God, that's ministry. This morning, you may say that you're not called to ministry, but you are. We're called to help. We're called to serve. There's things that you do that I can't do. There's things I can do that you can't do. But boy, we work together in this ministry that God has called us to. And today, this week, is very obvious. He's given a ministry, a mega ministry for all of us. Right here in our neighborhood. Right here in Southwest Louisiana and Southeastern Texas. That's our neighbors. Do you realize Texas had taken in so many evacuees from Hurricane Katrina? Do you realize how much Texas has done for us? Oh, today, can we be Christians? Can we be the church who does for others? Yes, we. You know what? When we turn on the news media and you see people helping and helping and helping, you see churches standing up, you know what our first inclination is? Well, everything's okay. Look at all those people. Oh, they got plenty of supplies. 35,000 people were out of their homes. 35,000 are in shelter somewhere. Can you imagine the magnitude? No clothes, no food, no shoes, no socks, and you have to get that. No supplies, no hygiene, no care, nothing. The need is great. God wants to use us. God wants to use us. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. See, your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences determines your ministry. but your attitude determines your maturity. You see, base your ministry on your gifts, all those things that God has made you and incorporated you to be, but your servant heart determines your availability. So there are several things we need to learn, to learn to serve like Jesus. The first is this, is that serving Jesus means that we're available. Serving like Jesus means that we're available. Listen, here's one that will hit us all right between the eyes. See, one day Jesus was walking down to Jericho and he came across this blind man. And this blind man began to shout out to him. Matthew 20, verse 30 through 32 says, two blind men shouted to the Lord. And then he said, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called to them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. You notice something in that passage of scripture. It said that Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. If you truly want to be used by God, if you want God to really work through you in your life, you must be willing to be interrupted. You must be willing to be interrupted in your daily routine, in your weekly routine, maybe even in your hourly routine. Most of Jesus' miracles and his ministry were really interruptions. Interruptions in what he was doing or where he was going. So many of the people that Jesus healed, the blind man, the lame man, the sick man, the paralyzed man, the dead child, all of these were interruptions. Matter of fact, his first miracle, he was at a wedding reception, minding his own business with his disciples. His mama came to him and says, "They're out of wine." His first miracle was an interruption. You know, many people like to study the steps of Jesus. Maybe we really need to study the stops of Jesus, the interruptions, because that's when great things happen. Do you like your life to be interrupted? Right now, there are a lot of lives next to us that are being interrupted. And there are a lot of people around our area who's interrupting their life to help. Are you doing what you can do? Are you interrupting your life at all? You see, what we're planning to do is we collect these goods, these items, and there's a lot over at the office, and people are still bringing. You can still bring. We're gonna try to get those things over a latter part of this week. But we're also, when we get boots on the ground, we want to see how we can help in a greater way and to send like a couple of different teams at different times to go over and actually help gut out thousands of houses that need it. Now, we may not get the thousands, but listen, we're going to get what we can get. He said, "Well, I can't do that." Oh, if you can put a glove on and scrub Clorox, you can do it. Is that easy? He said, "Well, I don't really have the time." You see, that's what we're talking about, interruptions. See, some of us wouldn't give a sick day to go over there and work because we don't want to be interrupted. See, we don't want to be used by God because we don't want to interrupt our lives in any way. We just want to be left alone. When was the last time you gave of your time, you were interrupted to minister and to serve? When was the last time? See, John Wesley's motto is this. I love this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Listen, are we giving what we really can of ourselves? Are we really making excuses not to be interrupted by the things that others are going through? Are we really giving people excuses, even giving God excuses? "Well, I can't do this." But maybe there's some other things you can do. Listen, folks, this is greatness, what John Wesley said. It's what it means to be shaped by God. We must make ourselves available for God to use us. So many of us, listen, I don't want to surrender what God wants me to do because I'm afraid he's going to send me down to Africa and be a missionary. If God wants you to go to Africa, he'll call you to go to Africa. He'll equip you and everything else to go to Africa. But you know what? Maybe he didn't call you to go to Africa. But maybe he did call you to go to Orange, Texas, or Vidor, Texas, or Houston, or Beaumont. Maybe one of the shelters here in Alexandria and Lake Charles. Maybe he called you to go there. See, you must be willing to step out of your comfort zone and really say, God, okay, I'm willing to go out of my way. God, I'm really to get out of this comfort zone. What do you really want me to do? So what keeps you from being available? Many people say, I'd like to be used by God. I like more power in my life. I like to serve God, but I'm not available. Listen, there's usually three common barriers here for not being available for God. The first one is this, self-centeredness. We're just plain old selfish. A Christian being selfish. Who ever heard of that? A Christian being selfish. See, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, is forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Anytime you have a need right in front of your face, and believe me, it's right in front of our face, and it's real obvious, somebody needs help, God is giving you the opportunity to learn to serve, the opportunity to learn to be like Christ. Our number one enemy of compassion is busyness. We busy ourselves about so many other things that we kind of forget all the rest. And listen, let me tell you something. Clarify. When the water goes down in Texas, and it is, it's slowly going down, receding, and the news cameras are cut off, and all the high-profile people are gone, and all the big fundraisers have stopped, there's still a lot of hurting people who have been forgotten about. We learned that in Katrina. We learned that this goes months and months and months, and even in New Orleans in years. Because there are people who have been forgotten about. It's not the big story anymore. So people tend to like, well, okay, everything's all right. No, it's not. We get so busy. We say, I'm so busy, I don't have time. I've got my own agenda, my own plans, my own dreams, my own goals, my own ambitions. Sometimes in our lives, we just hang out a big old do not disturb sign. The second barrier is this that we find is perfectionism. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, if you wait for protection, for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you wait for everything to be perfect, nothing will work out for you. You know, when things are right and things settle down, I'll go serve. Real servants, Christ-like servants, do the best that they can with what they have today for Jesus Christ. If you say, well, listen, I can't give, I can't donate because I really don't have enough money, God will take your $5, he'll take your $2, he'll take your $10, and you'll be surprised what he does with that money. You will be amazed. Why? Because you gave it in faith with what you have right now. Not waiting for your big check to come in next month or the next month or the next month. He's saying, what do you have right now in your possession? See, those who do great things don't wait. While we wait, there are people who are cold and hungry and hurting and countless people dying and a lot of them, listen, are entering into eternity without Christ. Because we're just waiting around for everything to be perfect. What a shame. We can incorporate the good enough principle. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to bless it. Matter of fact, we're pretty much all a bunch of misfits. If you think about it, we have weaknesses and flaws and faults and failures. But guess what? God still uses us. Conditions and situations do not have to be perfect for us to step up and say, listen, I want to help. I want to do. The third barrier is materialism. Luke 16, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. What's the number one priority in your life? Are you trying to build monetary wealth above serving God? You say, we get so busy taking care of things that we don't have time to take care of people. And that's a real problem for God. There's a real problem in Christianity today. There's nothing wrong with having money or wealth, but when it becomes our number one obsession, then God is down the list. If material possessions are your motivation, then I really invite you to go to the local dump. You know what you'll find? If the TV cameras today are going across the streets, where all those houses are flooded, they're being gutted out now. You know what you'll see? You'll see the latest and greatest of everything. You'll see nice bedroom sets. You'll see nice couches. You'll see, the latest tech. You'll see computers. You'll see all sorts of things that were floating in water, and now they're garbage. But at one time, that was somebody's dream. That was on somebody's wish list for Christmas. That was a wish list for a birthday gift. That was the biggest and the best, and now it's junk. And for some of us, we're still shooting for all the biggest and the best when it really is just junk. It'll be junk in 5 years, 3 years, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, a flood. It's just junk. But that's what we're investing our time and our resources in. See, your service to God lives for all eternity. Listen, when we serve for God, when we give, when we donate, we put in the box, we make trips and volunteer our time. Listen, those things are marked for eternity. There aren't many Wells Fargo trucks following a hearse these days. If your job or your hobby is keeping you from having any kind of service, you need to make some kind of adjustments in your life. Listen, when if you're tired of watching the news, you're tired and you're turning it off, and you're tired of seeing all the flooding that's going on and the rescues and the shelters, if you're tired of all that, then it's time for you to be among them to help. Second thing we see this morning, I'm going to hurry. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. Serving like Christ means being grateful. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Jesus had an attitude of gratefulness in everything he did. Even when he was criticized, Jesus was still grateful for the things that were not easy in ministry. His attitude was always grateful. Jesus' ministry and miracles always happened with this attitude of thankfulness, that God had blessed him in such a way that he could perform these miracles in people's lives. What do you have to be grateful for today? Why do you serve God? Not with a sense of duty, but hopefully with a sense of delight. A sense of delight. When you're thankful, truly thankful, and realize how blessed you are, it's amazing how you become that conduit of blessings to others. When you're really thankful what God has given you. You worship, you give, you're appreciative, not out of sense of obligation, but this great sense of opportunity that he has given you to bless the lives of others. We serve him because he's given life to us in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 tells us, it is he who saved us, and he chose us for his kingdom, not because we deserved it, but because it was in his plan. Many times, we tend to trip on ourselves on the way to serving God. See, there are a couple of things that become barriers to us, to serving God. The first one is this. We're comparing and criticizing. Romans chapter 14 tells us, who are you to criticize someone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. How many times we look at others and what they're doing and we want to criticize them? Why are they doing it this way? Or why, boy, they didn't plan out very good for this. And all the time we're not doing anything. You see on social media this past week how Joel Osteen got so much criticism. Listen, I'm not a fan of Joel Osteen at all. But he took a lot of criticism for not opening his church up sooner. And he was being criticized by ignorant people. People who had no clue what was going on in his own church, what was going on in the basement of his church being flooded. He was just being wise not to open up himself to more problems before he had things in place. But he was also being criticized by a lot of people who weren't doing anything. And boy, it was just being shared on social media, Facebook and others, like criticizing this man who was being working through the flood himself. My heart goes out to that because there are a lot of people sitting back, oh, he called himself this and he calls himself that. Don't worry about what he's doing or not doing. What are you doing or not doing? Don't worry about what he'll have to answer for himself and the platform that he has. But we have to answer for ourselves and the platform and the things that we have in our care. How good of a manager are we with the things that God has given to us? Are we blessing those who are in need? Don't worry about whether he's blessing them or not. What are we doing? I don't have to answer for Joel. I have to answer for Kevin. Second barrier we see is wrong motivations. Matthew 6 verse 1 says, when you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. Self-promotion and servanthood don't mix, but it's easy to get them mixed up. A lot of your service could be deemed self-serving at times. See, we need to be honest. We serve sometimes. We serve to get others to like us. We often sometimes serve to be admired or to achieve some of our own goals. There are all kinds of wrong motivations to serve. We're humble, but all the time we're humble, we're thinking pridefully about ourselves for being humble. See, that's the struggle of service. That's the struggle of many pastors. That's the struggle that we all go through when we're in service, is that we don't pat ourselves on the back for doing what we're doing. Some even try to manipulate God through service. It's hard to see the wrong motivations. Some even think if they work enough good that they can actually get to heaven. Wrong. Wrong motive. Won't happen. We're called and we're saved. We read in the first nine verses. We're called and saved by the Lord God through Jesus Christ and our faith in him. Why? As verse 10 says, to do good works. Salvation, good works. Not good works leading to salvation. You see, oftentimes we have wrong motives. The third thing we see, serving like Jesus means being faithful. It means that you don't give up. You keep on going. You keep going. You don't quit in the middle of your assignment. When God has given us assignment, we don't quit. We don't just give up and say, well, you know, it's not going like I want it to go. It's not moving as fast as I want it to move. Then it must not be what God really wanted. Or, man, I just don't know if I can keep giving. Well, we may need to pace ourselves a little slower. Sometimes we jump into a service and, boy, we're gung-ho, we're getting after it. 2 months later, why did I ever sign for this? What did I sign up for? John 17:14 says, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, is what Jesus told the Father. Jesus persisted in his work. He never quit. He fulfilled his service. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us this: one thing required of servants is that they be faithful. If God never did another thing for us in our life, listen, if God never did anything else for Kevin West, I owe him the rest of my life for what he's already done. If he did nothing else, I already owe him the rest of my life. doesn't matter in what area of service that God has called you. You see, one is often significance and the other is prominence. There's a difference. A service of prominence is one where everybody can see, like preaching, singing, teaching. It's one where everybody can see. A service of significance is one that keeps everything alive and moving, and maybe nobody really sees. It's like your nose. Your nose is prominent. It's seen, but you can live without it. You know you can live without your nose? And some of us would probably be better off living without our nose because we're nosy. But see, your liver and your heart, they're significant. They're not seen, but you can't live without them. Same is true in God's service. There were two teenage boys years ago who attended a church service. Listen, that church was packed. This revival going on was packed. These two teenage boys came in and they looked across and they really couldn't see a place to go sit. And they turned to walk out and there was an usher at the back. Not usher, but a usher. At the back of the door. And before they walked out, he said, "No, son, don't leave." He said, Let me go find you a place." He came down about middle ways, and there was a couple of seats right in the middle, and he got those boys to go sit down. That night, both of those boys gave their life to Christ. They were saved. One of those boys, you probably know him very well. His name is Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham has led multiple thousands of people to Christ. Don't you think that usher who came down and found a seat for them will receive rewards for every one of those souls that Billy Graham led to the Lord? Because what he did was significant, even though nobody really noticed it. Because those two boys didn't leave out, and Jesus worked in one. God had a plan for one of those boys' lives to be a great evangelist. The question is, how will you be used? One day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say with us, "What did you do with what I have given you? The talents, the abilities, the background, the experiences, the freedom that you have here in America, the education that you have. What did you do with the shape that I created you in?" Well, we tell God, "Well, God, I was pretty busy with my own ambitions, with my own plans. You know, I had a lot of things. I had some money in the bank, but I had all that stuff, you know, earmarked for some stuff. God, I really didn't want to get rid of any of that. God, I didn't have but a few dollars, and, you know, I really wanted to hold on to that because I knew I had a couple of bills coming in." And God's just said, "Well, why didn't you trust me? God, we know it looked real busy over there in Texas, and I just really didn't want to take any time off from work to go do it. I didn't want to be bothered." And God's going to say, "Wrong answer. What were you thinking? You think I put you on earth to live for yourself? I put you here to serve me by serving others." Remember, I started out talking about Elvis. You know a curious fact about Elvis? The only Grammy Award that he ever won, out of 250 million albums sold, was for a gospel album that he put out. And he died never truly finding his purpose. What will God do through you? Will God be able to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant? You spent your life serving me." What an awesome thought that here at First Baptist Ville Platte, we can really have a nuclear explosion of servanthood, not only in our own community, but in our neighbors' lives right here. God has sent many of them to us. Maybe we can't go into Texas, but maybe we can go up to Alexandria. Maybe we can go to Lake Charles and just offer our, what can we do to volunteer? What can we do? Can we go give 4 or 5 hours? Can we give a Saturday? Can we give a Sunday afternoon? What can we do? In the name of Jesus, going there. Will we bother ourselves or will we hold out, do not disturb? Will we truly be the church that God has called us to be? Maybe you say, you know what? I really never thought about it. I've got some canned goods in my pantry. I can bring that. Where can I bring it? Listen, you can bring it to the office. You can bring it here to the church, wherever, the next week as we make a trip over. It's a start. It's making progress to what God really wants to do, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people that he has called us to bless. Let's pray together. Father God, you have shaped us all for service. Lord, we are not all alike. I'm looking at men and women who have gifts that I can't even imagine of having. Lord, there are some who have so many, Lord, just abilities and so many experiences in life that they can sit down with hurting people and just listen. Not preach to them, just listen. Maybe, God, they're outgoing personalities and they want to hand out tracts. They want to hand out some Bibles. They just want to give encouraging words. They just want to go and pray with people. Father, whatever you've called them to do, Lord, I pray today that they step up for service. Lord, that your name be glorified, your name be honored. For it's in your Son's name that we ask and pray all these things. Amen.